Open in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Hope to finish this today. I only started it on the 19th of January. You know, sometimes I can't help but think that perhaps we're too easily satisfied in our study of God's Word. Or maybe we're too easily dissatisfied and we give up and quit when we're reading or studying God's Word. And that could be a very big reason as to why we're so seldom astonished at the power and the glory of God in our personal lives. We don't make those discoveries because we're so easily satisfied or dissatisfied. In other words, we're just reading words on a page, and they don't come alive to us. I was reading something that someone else wrote, and they said, when I'm reading God's Word, if it's a point that I understand and it's a point or a scripture that I like, then I read it real slow because I'm glorying in that moment. But if it's a scripture or a point that I'm confused about, or maybe that I really don't like, I just read over it real fast. Or sometimes I even skip it, he said. When you and I begin reading God's Word in a meditative way, so that we go past what the words are and we allow those words to get into us and become a part of us, and we bring our imagination into it, I've done this almost all my life, my Christian life. I allow my imagination to become a part of my study of God's Word. I start thinking, I wonder what this person felt like. I wonder what they thought of this. Or, I bet that shocked those donkeys. Can you imagine being Balaam's donkey and suddenly you can speak and you understand and you're smarter than the dude that's on your back? And you say, hey, wait a minute, dude. How come you beaten me like that? Have I ever just, he was reasoning. Can you imagine how Balaam felt? The shock of shocks. What if your dog one day turned around and said, this food stinks. Why don't you give me something better? But when I'm reading God's Word, I want that to become a part of me. In other words, sometimes we use too much of our left brain and not enough of our right brain. That right brain is the creative part. The left brain is the analytical part. And we want to analyze everything that God has said instead of becoming a part of it and it becoming a part of us. This story that we've been reading, and we've read it so many times now, put yourself in that boat with the disciples. In verse 35 of chapter 4 of Mark, said, when the evening come, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other little boats with them also. A furious squall came up, and the waves began to break over into the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? Just put yourself in that boat. You saw what took place, but you have already witnessed so many other things that had taken place. The healings, the deliveries, the evil spirits being cast out of individuals, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves and a couple of fish. All of these things you've beheld, and now you were just fearing for your life, and Jesus stands up and rebukes the waves and the wind, and it becomes absolutely calm like glass. Which used to be my favorite time to water ski, when the lake was like glass and you were the first one through it and you were breaking new ground. That's what the disciples saw from the agitation of the storm just a few minutes before. That storm, our first point was the power of the storm. It was a furious squall with waves that broke over to swamp the boat. It suddenly came from nowhere. And we liken that to storms in our lives, that everything's going along good and we're not expecting anything to hit us, and suddenly, out of nowhere, here comes this strong problem or storm. And it's severe. Because it nearly swamps the boat. We never expected that, but it sure rocks us. Where did that come from? That was our third point, or third section on our first point. And that brought us to our second point, the problem of this storm. The waves broke over the boat, nearly swamped it. Jesus was sleeping. He was not aware of what was going on, and his disciples were extremely afraid. So they woke him up, and they questioned him, don't you care? We're about to drown, and you're sleeping. We've all been there in our lives when we've looked up to heaven and say, God, where are you? Don't you care? He cares, always. In that statement, in that question of Jesus, his disciples were doubting his goodness. Don't you care? But it was even more than that. They doubted his grace. We're going to drown. They felt abandoned. They felt let down. They were afraid. They doubted his guarantee. He had already said, let's go to the other side. So their destination was the other side of the lake or the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus had said, we're going there. So they doubted his guarantee, his abilities, his power. If you doubt his power, then you doubt Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where it says, in all things, God works for good for those who love him. But we know that that's true. And we know that it's powerful, and we know that he does use all things for our good. So we looked at the power of the storm, we looked at the problem of the storm, and that brings us to where we left off. Point three, the purpose of the storm. Everything that God does in your life has a purpose. And if you and I are wise, we will discover what that purpose was for whatever happened. Especially if it's something with a negative connotation. We need to dig down below the surface, not look at just the surface area, but go down deep. What are you saying, God? What are you doing? What's going on here? In Mark chapter 4, verses 39 through 41, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? So when Jesus was woken up, he began to work immediately on the situation. As he did, there were some discoveries that came to the forefront for the disciples. Anytime you allow Jesus to work in your life, you're going to discover something. It's going to be one of those aha moments, unless you just take it for granted and say, well, thanks, Lord, and walk on. But if you appreciate it and you spend a little time looking at it, those aha moments will change your life. Their lives were about to be changed. It went from fear, we're going to die, we're going to drown, Jesus, don't you care? And then all of a sudden, they were afraid, not of the storm, but of Jesus. Who is he? They were discovering something. There are discoveries that you and I need to make. As we face the storms that come against our life, we need to begin to understand. And in these discoveries, it's going to help us know about the one who rides in our vessel every day. The one who accompanies us and will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. We can make some discoveries that are awesome about him in our daily lives. The Lord we serve, that Lord that is a part of our lives every day, he has the same power now that he had then. And sometimes you and I, if we're reminded of that, we're quick to say, I agree, I believe that. But then when it comes crunch time, we don't believe that. Somehow he's changed or he's lost some power. He doesn't have that authority. And we act as though we're already defeated. We begin to think as we're already overcome. When Jesus said, no, just have faith. You can walk on the storm just like I do. Come on, Peter, get out of the boat. If you ever want to walk on water, you got to get out of that boat. Some brilliant guy said that. I mean, it looks apparent to me. They made discoveries, point A, about his power. Things that had never quite dawned on them like that. That storm so terrified these men, but it never posed a problem for Jesus. He rebuked the wind, he rebuked the sea, spoke to it, and when he did, the winds fell silent, the sea became like glass. Just as easily as Jesus had healed the sick, just as easily as he had cast out devils, he took control of that storm. And he still can. The Lord we serve has that same power. Your storm is no problem for him. I mean, we go around having nervous breakdowns. Little boy across the street from us one day, he walked over and he says, can Billy come out and play? And mom said, yeah, is your mom home? Said, yeah, she's having a nervous breakdown and told me to get out. Some of us, we go around having nervous breakdowns. And people see it. What's eating him? I don't know, but there's something tragic going on. He must be in a storm. Our problems are no problem for God. He can silence the most dramatic thing with a word. Be still. Stop. Lay down. And it obeys. But sometimes he might speak to you instead of your storm. And he might say to you, we're going to let it rage for a little while. Let's see what you learn out of this. And he leaves you in that storm. When he does that, he is well able to protect you even in the midst of the storm. And he will protect you. But he will let the storm do its worst. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, then think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many of you would like to walk in a fire? If we die, we die. Our God is able to bring us out, but if he doesn't, we'll see him. And then the king looked in and said, there's four of them in there. Jesus will always walk with you when you're in the midst of your storm, whatever that may take. Or even in the lion's den, like Daniel. Sometimes God lets us go into those situations, but he protects us all the way through them. His promise is, I will bring you out. I will be with you always. He doesn't always deliver out of it. Sometimes he delivers through it. They were making some discoveries. Point B, he said they made discoveries about his promises. Remember, they were doubting him. He said, we're going to the other side. Now they're in the middle of a storm. Jesus stills the storm, and they begin to find out his promises are not what they thought. And just as he had said, they sail the rest of the way over in peace, tranquility. There was a discovery in that boat. He's good as his word. His word never fails. When he gives his word, he brings it about. It's true today, sitting right here in this sanctuary. I don't know what you're facing. I know what a few of you are facing. And I'm telling you, my God is more than able. Paul said he shall supply all, A-double-L. And that's more than a dish detergent or a clothes detergent. That is all. He is well able. He has promised, and he will do what he has promised. He'll not back away from any promise. You read the book. Every promise in that book, you can bank on it. He'll make sure that everything he has said comes to pass just the way he did. He said it. So that brings us to see they made discoveries about his presence. When the Lord is in your boat, when he's in your life, suddenly you have an advantage. The Bible says in verse 36 of this chapter 4, there were also other little ships, but there was only one that Jesus was in. It benefited all the others, yes. They were benefited by the calm sea and the dying winds, but they were fighting the battle almost by themselves. Only one ship contained the Lord of glory. That boat was the place to be. If I had my pick, there might have been an ocean liner out there. I don't want to be in that. I want to be in this little boat right here where Jesus is. As we sail the seas of life and we go through our daily routines, we need to remember that we are all in this thing together. Every one of us is fighting battles. You're not alone. Every one of us are voyaging through life. We are all on the same sea. We are all in our boats going together, facing the same obstacles. When I play golf, and I hit what should be a pretty good hit, but it ends up in the sand trap, I feel like somebody is picking on me. But then I have to remember every golfer that hits off that tee faces that same sand trap. And some of them smart enough not to go in it. Every problem that you face is common to man. That's what the Bible says. Having Jesus in your vessel makes all the difference in the world. I'd hate to face some of the things that we have to face. if he were not with me. They were able to call on him because he was with them. They were able to see him move in power because he was with them. They were able to experience his peace because he was with them. In your vessel, make sure that you are with him and that he is with you. If he isn't, how do you know you're going to weather the storms of life? Then point D, very quickly. They made discoveries about his purpose. The storm taught these men a lesson that they could have learned in no other way. There was something going on there that there's no other way they could have learned what they learned. It would have been nice if they just took him at his word and believed him. He can do great things. He can do all things. Maybe I should just believe him. He said, we're going to the other side. I don't care how this storm is raging. We're on our way to the other side. That's what he said. They didn't believe him. It would have been great if they'd have taken the things of the Lord and what he did for others and they applied it to their own lives and said, if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. They could have said, you know, if Jesus can heal a leper, if he can cure Peter's mother-in-law, if he can cast devils out even in church, it's a little harder there. If he can heal the guy of palsy, if he can forgive sins, then I'm sure he can take care of this storm. But they seemed unable to process that information because they were just seeing the surface things. And they wasn't looking down below. He sent them out in the storm to make them aware, to teach them something about himself. What about me and you? We have his word, and we read the word. It tells us all the great things that he has done. We have the testimony of others in the church, and we've heard the testimonies, like Miss Mary. She doesn't have to take her diabetes medicine anymore because she don't have diabetes anymore. She's healed. And her heart, God's touched. If he'll do it for Miss Mary, he'll do it for you. If you're as sweet as she is, some of you don't have a chance because you're not as sweet as she is. Anyway, if he'll move for somebody else, he'll move for me and you. Wouldn't it be great if we could just trust him and say, God, you said it. I believe it. I mean, we say those little cliches, but is it down here? Maybe up here, but not down here. So sometimes he uses storms to teach us that he is more than able. Right after my surgery, and I didn't think I was ever going to get better. And I remember laying there in the dark of night and saying, this is as good as I'm ever going to get. I better get used to this. And then I remembered my arm. When they told me there was no hope that I would ever use this hand or this arm again. And the doctor said they performed a miracle surgery. and put the nerves back together. But it had been over a year and nothing had changed. And I knew that I couldn't play professional baseball with that bum hand. And every night I would sit in the middle of my bed with a glove on his hand. Move. Move. Feel something. And then I would pray. And after about, 14, 15 months of deadness, no feeling, no movement, suddenly I moved my little finger, ever so slightly. You would have thought I won $1,000,000. I jumped up and down. I was hooping and hollering, and Dad was asleep, and he says, "Shut up in there, boy. Get in that bed." And I said, "If he only knew." And I didn't tell him, because we had a doctor's appointment at the end of the week. And we went in, and I said, "Hey, Doc, look." And he said, "That don't mean nothing. That's nothing. We're still going to do the surgery and take muscle from up here and put in your hand and give you a stiff hand." Because I was having accidents. I shut my hand in the car door, and I didn't know it until I started to walk away. And then I had to open the door and get my hand out. My fingers were all bent, and I wasn't sure if they were broken. I laid my hand down on a hot stove and didn't know it until I smelled. So he was going to give me a stiff hand so that it wouldn't just flop around. God is good. And I did that night. Yeah. I did that night. And I said, "This is not going to stay like this. I'm going to beat this thing." And here I is. And every couple of weeks, it's like I make a move and I make a leap and I say, "Oh, I'm better than I was back there." And God keeps repairing. If he'll do that for me, he'll do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. And I begin to think about those kind of things. And I don't care how the wind blows or the storms assail, I know his power. I trust him. Even when it's tough. And they got over to the other side, and there was that demonic of the Gadarenes. And he comes running down. And I'm sure that some of them looked at him and said, "Ooh, he's not going to be able to do anything with that guy. They've tried to bind him in chains, and he just breaks the chains." Or when they saw Jairus, and he comes for help for his daughter, and then they hear the news, she's dead. He's not going to be able to do anything about a dead person. If we've trusted him and believed him, we can say, "He can take care of this." I think the storm began to increase their faith. That's what it was for. That was one of the purposes. They are taught that valuable lesson that even when you can't see him, he's still watching you and he's still working on your behalf. Sometimes he sends storms to educate us so that we'll trust him. And then point E, discoveries about his peace. His peace that sinks down to the very depth of us. You see, Jesus could have perfect peace because he knew he had a date with a cross, not an angry sea. And point F, they made discoveries about who he was. Jesus calmed the sea, and they were amazed. They learned that he is the one who is in control of every puff of wind, every angry ripple, every storm that comes your way or my way. He can control waves. He can lasso the winds and hogtie the storm. There was a king in England whose name was Canute. And Huntington writes an account about him. He was a powerful king. And he amassed power to himself. And one day he had his men take his throne down to the sea. And he put his throne on the seashore. And he walks over to sit upon the throne and he says, "Stop. The tide will not rise and wet my feet nor my royal robes." And he sat down on his throne, and the tide started coming in. And suddenly, one big wave, and it washed across his feet and wet the hem of his royal robes. And suddenly he jumps up and he jumps behind his chair. And the king says, "Let all men know how empty and worthless is the power of kings. For there is none worthy of the great name but he whom heaven and earth and sea obey in eternal laws." He walked back to the castle and he hung his golden crown on a crucifix and never wore it again. And he had inscribed a note, "To the honor of God, the Almighty King." And that explanation he put, "Because the King of Kings is more worthy than I." And he bowed and prayed to Almighty God. Do you know that King today? Do you know this stiller of storms? Do you know the Savior of the world? That King is still alive today. That King is proclaiming mighty edicts over his subjects, and he's doing so by his eternal, powerful name. And his name is Jesus. And he said he would walk with us that he would talk with us. I don't know what storms you might be facing all the way through this message. We've talked about the storms in your life, and there's probably been at least 20 or 25 that have responded, yeah, I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm in the middle of a hard time. I'm here to tell you, with a word, he can calm it. With a word, he can cause it to be still and lay down. He's still a master of the deep. If it's a storm of suffering, he can bring you comfort for your pain. If it's a storm of sorrow, he can bring you comfort for your soul. If it's a storm of sin, and you've got messed up in something that's swirling like a tornado, almost out of control, he can deliver you with a word, and he can set you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, I ask that right now, Jesus, I ask, as you're here in this room, that life that's being tossed, facing situation after situation, or maybe they're in such a desperate situation right now that they see no hope, or they're quickly losing hope. Stand in the bow of their boat and speak to that storm that's attacking their life. Jesus, would you just right now speak peace, be still. Will you trust him today? Because if you will, then you can bring him right into your situation and you'll be able to watch him work. He'll work out anything that you allow him to work in. Let him be in the storm with you. If you're here this morning and you're facing some things that you're really unsure about, some things that might frighten you, some things you don't understand because they're difficult, things that threaten to turn your life upside down, if you say, man, I really need some help. I need Jesus to step into this with me. If you're there, would you just quietly, right where you are, just stand to your feet. And by your standing, you're saying, Jesus, I invite you into my storm. I really need your help. Will you come and help me. By your standing, you're just bringing him in. Father, I thank you for every person that's standing. Here on the main floor and up in the balcony, there's a dozen that are standing right now. Jesus, will you go to them? Send your Holy Spirit to encourage them, but step into their situation and say, peace be still. Or God, if you're drawing them closer, will you spread your arms out wide and accept them in? And let them see who you are and that you are more than able. I break every foul and evil thing that would attack your people. Bring your comfort, bring your presence, bring your grace. And God, just bring your peace into every life, especially those that are standing right now. You can control it, we can't. So would you do that, Lord? Father, bless these. You know how I've prayed all the way through this message. Thank you for the victories. Now would everyone stand, please? I encourage those of you who stood. Go back and read this story. Put yourself into it. And see that Lord of glory standing in the midst of your turmoil, speaking the words, peace be still. Become a part of this story and let the narrative begin to touch your life. He will do that for you. And whatever the lesson is, learn it quickly. And step on. Go on. Go further. Go deeper. Bow your heads with me one more time. Now, Father, as we prepare to go our separate ways, we never leave your presence behind. We never leave the power of this moment. But, Lord, we take that with us. Let this message be a life-changing message. Let great discoveries come to each and every one of us because of it. And we'll be ever so mindful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Matt, for taking the time and being here with us. Shake a hand, hug a neck. Consider yourselves dismissed. Oh, I got my. Yeah, I know. This is my granddaughter, Piper. Piper! Yeah!